Welcome back to another episode of the Freedom Train Podcast Series. Yes, I did hit the falsetto.
I'm sorry.
I am Joseph Ward, and I'm joined by Patrick Aldarius Irvin.
I did doing the thing.
This is Freedom Train Podcast Series, your favorite podcast right here, where we give you social commentary and we interview the best and the brightest. And we like to interview people before they blow, during the blow, after the blow, all that, because we down with some of everybody. So thank y'all for joining in for our first time watchers and or listeners. We welcome you. We thank you for checking us out. We thank you for the support. And you are going to enjoy the podcasting that we bring to you. For all of our returning listeners, we appreciate y'all. Y'all part of the family. All of our Freedom Train family, our free thinkers. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate you all. And not free thinking in the sense of Kanye West, but free thinking in the sense of critical thinking. Actual critical thinking. We love you all. And with that being said, of course, you know, we got this housekeeping. So Freedom Train Podcast Series is brought to you by PACS, Inc. That's P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. And PACS, Inc. is a Black development organization aimed at developing the Black community to its maximum potential through a focus on education and economics with a trace of hard work, honesty, and integrity. For more information, make sure you visit the website at www.pactsinc.org and do the Birdman hand rub while the thing loading. That way you get more effect on it. And when you go to the website, you can look at the codes of conduct. You can learn more about the organization, how to become a member, how to donate, how to get involved in their initiatives, as well as take advantage of the information and learning tab and support them through their store. You can also support them through the Amazon Smile Pro. Go to AmazonSmile.com, or you can go to PACTS.com and click on the Amazon Smile logo. That will allow you to sign up with the Amazon Smile program. And when you do that, every time you make a purchase through Amazon, you will a portion of your proceeds will go to the specific nonprofit organization that you pick. So go ahead and pick PACS Inc., P-A-C-T-S-I-N-C. So that's AmazonSmile.com. That's how we get down, stay down. So Freedom Train website is www.freedomtrainradio.com. That way you can learn more about all of our podcasts that we have going on, more about our podcasters and future things that we have coming up as well. And so we got an announcement about Shelby's World Podcast that we're going to do toward the end of the podcast. But we're going to go ahead and get into it. Then we're gonna end it with some announcements and stuff like that. So today's podcast got three things we talking about while Pat out there trying to look studious. He ain't studious. We can see.
You know what's funny?
What's that?
Interrupt you real quick.
Go ahead, interrupt me.
I don't know that we should be interviewing people during the blow. That's kind of rude.
I knew you would think about that.
You said it like before the blow and after the blow is fine.
I'm blowing up, but you, being the Neanderthal that you are,
my dude called me a Neanderthal.
That's how they say you're supposed to say. I know, right? You're supposed to say tall. Nah, I'm gonna say tall.
Neanderthal.
All right, so Ron. Maximilian, or whatever, Ron DeSantis has signed HB1 into law. And HB1 basically is an anti-rioting law that was signed here in the state of Florida. And they said that they've signed this to combat any riots that may happen. So we're going to get into that. We're going to talk about the killing of Dante Wright by the white female officer who said she was reaching for her taser but pulled out a gun, shot and killed the young man. She won't talk about that. And then we're going to round this off by talking about the Micaiah Bryant situation. When she was killed, she was shot four times and killed by an officer right before she stabbed another young lady. But we got some footage on that we're going to show, because it's a lot that happened in this video that we got to talk about. It's a lot. So, Pat, you ready?
Nah, but we gonna roll with it.
You gonna be ready.
Right. And I'ma live by the statement, if you stay ready, you ain't gotta get ready.
Who said that? Floyd Mayweather.
Yeah, and T.I. and a couple other people.
A lot of people. So, the governor of the state of Florida, Ronald DeSantis, it was rumored that a bill was going to be signed, and it was being labeled as an anti-protest bill to basically curb protesting here in the state of Florida. From my understanding, a gathering of more than three people would be considered a protest, depending on the interpretation of said officers at scene. But I was listening to a radio program Friday morning, listening to a radio program as I was leaving an event, and it was talking about this. And what was interesting is they're basing the bill came about because of the protesting from the George Floyd situation.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of, if you've been watching this, you know how I feel about some of the protesting from the George Floyd situation, but I will reiterate some of those things here. So they're saying that they were looking at what happened around the United States and saw the result of said protesting and decided to be proactive and put this House bill in order and sign this law so they can prevent any future protesting that may happen in the state of Florida that may turn violent because of what happened from the George Floyd protest. So even just off of that, Before we even get into the details of the bill, Pat, just off of that alone, because you said, so things that make you go, you got to talk about
it. No, I just think everything about it is kind of funny. Like, I've been kind of reading through it a little bit since you mentioned it. I haven't read the whole bill yet. It's 61, or the whole law yet, I'm sorry. It's 61 pages. And even that to me is like a red flag. Why do you need 61 pages for, you know, the stuff that y'all are talking about doing, the changes y'all are talking about making? You don't need 61 pages. So to me, just that alone is a red flag. But, you know, Orwellian double speech and all of that other stuff being what it is. Go ahead. I'm gonna save the rest for when we actually start.
Well, I mean, so one of the first thoughts kind of mine, and this is before we get into the details, but one of the first thoughts that come to mind is about the protest is, for one, we do have a lot of evidence to show that in most of the places, I can't go on record and say all, but in a lot of the places that we saw, the people who were starting to protest were not the protest. I mean, people who were starting the riots at the protest were not the protesters. Those were people who seemed like they were people who were sent there to start the riots. Because we had people in all black who were identified by the protesters as non-protesters who were breaking windows, starting fires, painting BLM on, spray painting BLM on property and all those things there. So we do have evidence of that happening. But also, just the protests themselves overall, you know, I've been kind of side-eyeing them because it's like, you know, black people, white people been treating us like shit forever. And now people choose to protest because of the George Floyd situation, you know, so. Those are the first immediate thoughts that come to mind when I think about them, well, how they're framing, how they came up with this bill and how they came up with this law and the justification for putting it into action. So, all right. So, let's do a little reading on these teams. So it says, an act relating to combating public disorder. And like you say, 61 pages, we ain't reading the whole thing. An act relating to combating public disorder, amending S-166-241.
5 hours later.
If committed in furtherance of a riot or an aggravated riot. So just stop right there. So basically we reworked the laws to redefine and reclassify certain batteries so they can receive further punishment if it's deemed that the batteries happen during a doing what is classified as a right. That's basically what they're saying so far that I've read. That's what you picking up.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how do you, okay, even though that's in Florida, so just that, how do you think that affects like how protests happen or the fallout? I
mean, really, when you start talking about these things, a lot of it comes down to terms. How do they define? Did they change? And this is where I didn't really dig into it the way I would want to. But the question I have is, okay, how do you define what is or is not a riot? You know what I'm saying? That becomes critically important to understanding this whole thing and what they're trying to do. You know what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, I mean, and that's one of the things that they were talking about in the radio program that I was listening to is a lot of the language in the House bill is very vague. So it can be left up to interpretation by many people on many different levels.
Right.
So it's the ambiguousness of it is troubling to a lot of people, because let's say you got like 10 people out and a cop, or like now a lot of people like to stand in front of the Florida Capitol with their signs, and they'd be very peaceful. They don't be doing that, but they're protesting. So an officer could come up and deem that as a riot or troubling situation and start arresting people.
Right. You and that's one of the things all of these laws are supposed to do across the board is define the terms so that you understand exactly what they mean when they say certain things. Even if it's simple shit, like, you know, defining secretary in the following section. And you know, once they define by secretary, we mean Secretary of Health. Every time they say secretary in that session, you understand what they mean. A lot of what I read, and like I said, admittedly, again, I was just skimming through it. A lot of what I read was just like too vague to really be effective in doing anything meaningful.
Right.
But it is very effective at giving cover to abuses of power, in my opinion.
Right. Now, I do know some civil lawyers have gotten together and filed a lawsuit against DeSantis to try to get this overturned or removed or whatever. But like even reading further, it's talking about being able to punish people for defacing what they call historic property and a memorial. So, of course, we know they're referring to a lot of the Confederate memorials, so to say, that are being removed and or defaced. We know they're not talking about Black people historic stuff, because that would be interesting to see if a Black memorial is defaced, will the proper prosecution happen under this new House bill, or will it be continued to be ignored like it normally is? Or will it only be what happens to white people stuff?
Yeah, and the thing for me is this stuff is going to be, a lot of this stuff is already illegal. That they're, you know, so reclassifying it for a harsher penalty. And we know who they're targeting with that. It's like, it's more of a messaging bill than anything else when I'm looking at it. And now the vagueness does give people in power more room to abuse said power. But a lot of this stuff is like blocking traffic moving through public areas. That's already illegal. Impeding the flow of traffic is already illegal. Blocking or retarding the progress of people through public walkways is already illegal. Rioting is already illegal. You know, like, it's not legal for you to engage in violent protests.
Right.
So you know, in that sense, we get to this discussion of, okay, so what's really happening here? Like, what message are they trying to send? Who are they trying to send it to? And that's where, again, I go back to the vagueness of it. What are they opening the door for these people to do? But then you look at all of the other stuff that's included into it that doesn't have anything to do with protests, like providing that a municipality has the duty to allow the municipal law enforcement agency to respond to a riot or unlawful assembly in a specified manner based on specified circumstances. What does that mean?
They can come shut down, fan you homecoming if they feel like it.
Right. But, and so my mind is all over the place as I'm thinking about this, because I'm also looking at prohibiting cyber intimidation by publication.
Yeah, I was just going to get to that.
You know what I'm saying?
So, like, so what does that mean? So that's that. Does that mean if a law enforcement officer or an elected official, or somebody within a certain political party is not desired, can we not express how we feel about the person?
Right. Like, how do you define cyberbullying, which is what I think they're talking right. about, cyberbullying of law enforcement or elected officials or whatever the case might be by publication. So if CNN runs a negative article, is that illegal now in Florida? Like, to run
it depends on who runs it and if it's deemed to be intimidating or aggressive.
Right. But you're still, you know what I'm saying? You're still playing this game. And then even with the authorizing specified elected officials to file an appeal to the administration commission, if the governing body of a municipality makes a specified reduction to the operating budget of the municipal law enforcement agency, that provides a workaround for anybody that's pushing to have a reallocation of funds away from police departments and towards other organizations, projects, or things that develop the community. So it's basically like, if you try to take money away from the police, they have this now that they can use to prevent it from happening. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, it basically gives the law enforcement officers more. A longer leash to basically do what they do. Basically, that's what it does. It gives them a longer leash. It gives them more protection to be law enforcement officers. And I'm sure everybody understands what I mean when I say that.
So that's what, but that's what we're dealing with. Yeah.
I mean, but my okay. So I do believe that this was on three different fronts. It was, okay, of course, in response, we can't have that protest here in Florida, but also a response of the right to the left, but also, we know, underlining how that's going to affect us as Black folk. I mean, we do. So it's, in the state of Florida, we got to move smart. But also, this has to be challenged by those who are like lawyers and other people who can oppose it. Needs to be opposed. But we need more people to be cognizant of what's going on and aware and abreast of what's going on, and not just allowing stuff to just sneak up on you and trying to react after it happened when you could have been paying attention. So.
Yeah, I mean, this is the game of politics. This is why you play it, to counteract stuff like this when it happens against you and try to get stuff like this in your favor.
Right.
That's the game. And right now they still play it better than we do.
Because granted, there are a lot of us still in survival mode, but for us who are not in survival mode, still distracted.
Absolutely. So. And on that, I do want to, it's off topic, but it's on topic considering the last thing I read about the reallocation of funds from the police or defunding the police. I want to say, I think a lot of people need to really think about the long-term implications of the phrases and the quotes and the things that we champion. And I'm saying that with regards to this whole defund the police movement. I get the goal. I agree with the goal. And I can appreciate the goal. The phrase doesn't help. Running around saying defund the police doesn't help. And I say that because I was talking to Miss Kristen. We've interviewed her on the show. Shout out to Miss Kristen and Homeschooling Footprints.
Yay, yay.
If your goal, if we know when you read through history, we understand that white people have a history of giving people exactly what they ask for. Literally, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Word for word, verbatim.
We will defund the police in your areas.
Right. We'll defund the police in your community. Or we'll defund the police, but we'll put the funding towards something else that doesn't benefit you at all. Benefits us still. Or we'll do, like, once they remove the funds from the police. All right, we did what you asked.
And I'm with you. I don't think people, I don't know if real thought was put into it before the phrase became popular or they decided to go out and yell it, because like I said, I'm with you. I get it. I agree that police reform is definitely needed. Like, American reform is needed. They need to throw everything away and start over. But the way we live and the way the societies have been set up and the way poverty affects us, we live in a culture and communities and environments to where not having a properly funded police force will leave the community vulnerable. Like, we can take examples from like the favelas in Brazil or some of these other countries where gangs and stuff just rule those communities because the police don't have the funding to properly fight it.
Absolutely. Especially absent any community programs that would fulfill a lot of the duties that we still entrust police to do. Mm-hmm. Like, we can't keep summing things up into these cute phrases and then running with them. Like, there's got to be real meaning. When you just scream out defund the police, not only are you not presenting a complete idea, but you're also giving your opponents an easy out. Like, it's easy for them to refute that.
So, well, yeah.
And it's important, right? Like, you know, absent of community programs that are going to fulfill those police functions that are required, we really do ourselves a disservice. What happens with all of the crime and the murders and the various things that happen in the community? And I'm not saying that as if they happen in our community more than any other community, but I'm saying they do happen in our community. Yeah. Missing persons cases, you know, simple courtesy checks, the ones that go the way they're supposed to go. You know what I'm saying? Like, not to mention all of the other programs and services. We can't say, I ain't trying to go out there and deal with them kids. Them kids crazy.
And then be like, defund the police.
Right. Right. You can't be screaming about how negative your community is and how bad your community is doing and then scream defund the police and then not be putting anything in place to deal with the problems in the community. I mean, yeah. I agree with anybody that would say the police bring a lot of problems into our community. You'd be ignorant to deny that. Just like you'd be ignorant to deny the fact that the police do bring services to the community that we need because we aren't providing them for ourselves.
Well, we are right. And to continue along the path of truth, we also understand that the police don't police every black community the same. Right. Right. So a lot of black communities don't see the police until they're called. Some black police see some black communities see the police all the time because they're always there. Because they're looked at as high crime areas. So how we conduct ourselves within our communities matters. And so that builds on what you're saying. We have to think about what type of role are we playing in the destruction of our own communities that would cause an increased police presence? Because if we're going to say defund the police, then we have to have control of our communities.
Right. And if we had control of our communities, the police wouldn't be an issue in the first place, in my opinion.
Right. So, you know, put your ducks in a row. That's all we're saying. Put your ducks in a row. Don't be out here screaming one thing when you haven't taken care of things on this side.
Right.
So, all right, well, we ain't going to beat this dead horse. We will put a link. There is a link for this House bill in the description of the video. If you're listening to this via the podcast, go to flsenate.gov and type in HB1. So not too far from where George Floyd was killed, a young man, Dante Wright, was killed by a white female officer who said that she was reaching for her taser when she actually pulled out a gun and fatally shot the young man. And just that alone. So she's a 26-year veteran who's the head of the police union, who basically should know better. I'm sure she spent time training other officers and doing a lot of things with officers. And so she's saying she made a mistake. But we're saying that type of mistake can't be made. You can't make that mistake as a 26-year veteran of the police force. So from my understanding, for the police officers, and I heard several police officers say this, that, okay, the gun, your gun is to your strong hand side. So I'm right-handed. So what that means is, if I was a police officer, since I'm right-handed, my gun would be on my right-hand side, turned frontwards. My taser would be on my weak-hand side, which my left-hand side, turned backwards. So what that means is there's a clear distinction between how my gun is positioned and how my taser is positioned. Because to pull out my gun, I just need to reach down and pull up, bang. To grab my taser, I have to reach across myself to pull out and tase. So this, to me, this has, you know, remnants of Amber Geiger and Botham Jean. That's me. What about you?
I can see that. I think implicit bias also plays a role where consciously she might have been thinking, I'm going to tase this guy. But subconsciously, she was going through the motions and reacting off instinct, which was to grab the gun. So I can see that angle as well. Both angles, in my opinion, show that there's a clear problem of racism in America. Because no matter, even if you take the other angle that I presented, the second angle, it's still like implicit bias kicks in. She saw a black man, she saw a threat, and her initial impulse was to shut the threat down hard, with force, take his life. So even if consciously her conscious mind was saying, I'm going to tase him, everything else in her was saying, kill this man. And that's what she did. And even if she hadn't have done that, even if she had have successfully reached across her body and pulled the trigger on the taser, that initial impulse is still a problem.
Yeah.
that still needs to be dealt with. So I was reading an article on this. Professor Carl Tone Jones shared an article about a lawyer, a civil rights attorney, talking about why the guy might not be charged.
Okay, so you did see that. Okay.
And two things struck me about the article. The first was that you have a civil rights attorney making the case about how difficult it would be to get a charge in this situation, which I thought that's bullshit to make this argument right now in a national publication. Your goal, if you see a miscarriage of justice or somebody abusing authority or anything like that, in my mind, I'm not an attorney, but in my mind, as an attorney, you need to be thinking about how you can right this wrong, not about how it's going to be hard to right this wrong. Like, in the moments after it happens, you should be thinking about what you can do to even if you do take a losing case, in my opinion, you got to be okay with that to send the message.
Right.
Now, on the other end, though, in that article, he was talking about how maybe they need to reevaluate whether or not cops should carry tasers. And I was like, okay, that's wild as shit.
Yeah, they need to carry tasers. They need to. Every threat doesn't need to be met with a bullet.
And that was why I was like, that's wild as shit. So instead of reevaluating whether or not cops should carry guns, we're reevaluating whether or not they should carry a non-lethal option? That makes no sense to me. And this was from a civil rights attorney.
Hey. So luckily I found this article where she will be charged with second degree manslaughter.
Mm-hmm.
Second degree manslaughter. So the charge, this was written on the 14th. So the charge was filed 3 days after Dante Wright was killed during a traffic stop. So that has happened. Of course, protesting and all these things have broke out around Minnesota. Because like I said, this is 10 minutes away from where George Floyd was killed. And this is right before the George Floyd trial. The verdict of the trial. And then, of course, our next story happened within an hour after the verdict of the Derek Chauvin verdict, not George Floyd, but the Derek Chauvin. But I mean, it kind of made me think about our conversation last week. Let me restate that. It makes me think about our conversation last week when we were talking about what do we have to celebrate after the verdict of Derek Chauvin being found guilty, which he should have been. Well, what are we celebrating, especially if we're still here talking about this and people saying, well, this may be a step in the right direction. I mean, it may be a step in a direction. It may be a step. It may not be. But what we do know is our overall main complaint is still there. Our overall main fear and main focus is still there. Police brutality, the way police violently kill black people is not changing because a couple of officers are being found guilty when the majority of the violent crimes that come from police officers are not even filed.
Right. That we know of.
I mean, you know, it's sad this young man had to lose his life because of an error by this police officer who couldn't distinguish her firearm from her taser. I mean, look. I work at HIV/AIDS. And depending on the setting, I can't walk in there. Well, matter of fact, I'll tell you like this. I say like this. I work at HIV/AIDS and I do condom competency. There is no situation ever where I can walk into my job or in a teaching situation, pull out my penis, and put a condom on my penis as a demonstration. Because that's just crazy. I will be blackballed. But that's minimal compared to what she did. But I'm supposed to know better than she is too. And if you can't operate in those high stress situations, that's not the profession for you.
I think that's what a lot of this stuff boils down to. A lot of the cops on the police force don't deserve to be cops. They don't have the right temperament, the right skill set, the right mannerisms, the right mindset to be a cop. And I know it might bother a lot of cops, but based on my interactions with cops, I would say that 70 to 80% of them should not be cops.
I ain't gonna lie. I try to limit my contact with police officers. I mean, I've gotten better at that over the years, but I'm still in the mindset of limiting my contact with police officers. Yeah. There are a few police officers who I think the world of, who are very cool, I rock with, but for the most part, I limit my interaction with them. I'm not the person that goes up and just have total disdain for the police and all those things there, because I do understand that I can't take the whole total actions of the police or of law enforcement officers to put it on this person. But at the same time, in the back of my mind, I am thinking, are you one of them people who hide behind the blue line as well? I am thinking that. So.
Yeah, I mean, I know two cops that I rock with, and really one of them is still a cop in training, and it's a kid that I taught. And the other one is a kid that I mentored back in the day. And, you know, neither one of them are kids now. They're both married with kids and blah, 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 blah. But that's it. Like, I've had cool conversations with cops. But when it comes down to it, rubber meeting the road, I don't trust those cops that I had cool conversations with to protect and serve me. Because every cop that I've had interactions with, I won't say every, almost every cop that I've had interactions with outside of those cool conversations, it's been a negative interaction. And I could tell they were assuming something about me. And that's why the interaction was negative. So, and then I'm from the standpoint of, look, y'all don't be trying to assume that every Black person y'all meet is on the up and up.
Right.
So why should I give you a courtesy that you're not giving me? A courtesy that you're supposed to give me.
Right.
I'm not obligated to give you shit. But you're right. supposed to give me that type of respect.
I think that's one of the things that a lot of people think, that a lot of people know that cops got fucked up, is they expect us to, it's like we're obligated to see them in a certain light or speak them in a certain light, give them a certain extra amount of respect that they deserve past being a human being or past their position. Because, you know, I mean, I don't have no problem with respecting the person in their profession, but that respect has to be earned and maintained. Mm-hmm. And it's not just given. So I don't owe you anything as a cop because you decided to sign up and be a police officer. I don't owe you a damn thing. It's your job. It's the job you signed up to do. Like, you could have very well went and worked at a bank. You could have very well went and did anything else, but you decided to be a police officer. So that ain't got nothing to do with me. So. Shouldn't be bringing all your extra baggage to work. And in this case, when extra baggage was brought to work, a young man's life was claimed.
And there's far too many cases like that.
And I mean, look. I just don't see how she was able to make that mistake. She shouldn't have been able to make that mistake. She's too experienced on the police force to be able to make that mistake.
No, she shouldn't be allowed to make that mistake, but I understand exactly how she made it. And I think her being on the police force 20 plus years encourages those mistakes.
But even like when you, the way you explain it, that's not necessarily, that's not a mistake. It's a bias. It's a judgment. It's a reaction to fear.
And that's exactly why I said her being on the force as long as she has, it makes total sense that she would make this mistake. And I think it explains why. I think that bias is why a lot of black people end up killed. And I think that's one of the things that you gotta, that has to be worked on. And that's not something that can be changed by a 2-hour freaking cultural sensitivity course.
I mean, you got to change, like, the culture of these police forces is not going to change until the culture of America is changed, because the police forces were created to protect this culture that America created. That's what it does. And so until you change American culture as a whole from its roots, you're not going to get change in the police force. You might get a couple people who change the way they operate, but for the most part, that's not going to diminish the blue line. That people got to remember, when it comes, we've been saying it for years, white supremacy transforms and mutates over time. But why you think it's still here? Because it should have been fell apart. If it doesn't change, it would have been fell apart. But because it's still here and it's still strong, even though it's getting weak, it's getting weaker, but it's still strong because it still does what it does. That's because it's been able to transform and adapt over time.
I don't even think it's getting weaker, if we're being honest. I think it's getting a lot more subtle. But it's still influencing our daily lives.
Of course. Of course, it influences our daily lives and influences the lives of all people. Everybody in America is affected by racism. Everybody. Look at how people, yeah. Look at how we treat each other.
And now I'm finna say, I've been saying this for a while and I'm gonna keep saying it. If you are a person, a human being in America, and you have not actively been taught, raised, and trained against racism and white supremacy, then I don't care what your race is, you support it and you believe it. Because that's the way American culture is set up. And right. That's why we still have these issues with white supremacy, because everybody, including the majority of black people, subscribe to it in some form or fashion.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have to look at that. I mean, that's why I always encourage people to study racism and prejudice. Study the history of it. Study white supremacy or white racism. Study it. Study the history of it. Study how it started. Study why it started. Study how it continues to exist. Study the psychology behind it. That was one of the greatest parts of me being at Family, is being able to be a part of the psychology program and study the psychology of racism, but also getting to the psychology of the African before our minds were colonized.
Mm-hmm.
Study Dr. Francis Cress Wilson, study Neely Fuller Jr., study Amos Wilson, and furthermore, study early Umar Johnson.
Study early Umar Johnson.
I mean, you know, you got old Umar and new Umar, like old Kanye and new Kanye. So. But you know, man, look, Dante Wright. The problem with the Dante Wright situation is every year we're back here every year. Like, we just, the emotional roller coaster of George Floyd just came off its climax after he was found guilty, but they still have to do the sentencing. There's no mandatory sentencing in there. So, but now we got this situation and then our next story that we're going to talk about. So we're back here to talk about this, because about around this time last year, I think we were talking about this or about to talk about it with either Ahmaud Arbery or George Floyd. I can't remember exactly when it happened, but here we are.
Yeah.
Every year we bring on the summer.
Yeah.
Summer.
Yeah, every time you're right. Every time we start getting hot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we really talked about it last year, how every spring, summer, things get, and here it is the next year. And I think we talked about it the year before last year, too.
Probably
like,
so.
We might as well label it as like a time period for the show.
Right. When the summer comes, black folks start dying.
Yeah. All right. So we coming into the racist time of year, treated like hurricane season.
Purge season.
I was trying to think of a name for a purge season works.
Purge season. All right, man. So I've teased it. So let me get the video queued up so we can look at the video then talk about it.
Seconds. The police department and the police union president arguing the use.
Say, stop there. You got a grown man pushing a young girl on the ground. And from some angles, you can see there's a point where he's trying to kick her. Because I think two girls supposedly came to the house or allegedly came to the house to jump her. And the scuffle broke out and they had see all these adults around. See the young girl on the ground because she was pushed down by the grown man.
Use of force was necessary.
And then at this point, you see him with his foot in the air, about to stomp the young girl. And you see Micaiah Bryant in the back with the knife in her hand, looking like she about to juke the girl. And you also saw the officer pull his gun out.
So, to protect the young woman in pink.
I would ask you if that.
So let's run it back. Because we got a lot to talk about in this.
Four shots at Bryant within seconds. The police department and the police union president arguing the use of force was necessary to protect the young woman in pink.
I would.
Bruh. All right. So where you want to start with this? Because I believe that Micaiah or somebody, we know somebody from Micaiah's side. I think they said Micaiah called the police. And then all this happened. So. I'm blaming these adults. I'm blaming this grown man that's trying to kick this young girl in the head. I'm blaming all the other adults. Like, that's where I'm starting. What about you?
Yeah. I think it is another clear example of a community failure put on public display. Because he shouldn't be up on a little girl like that, period, or a woman, period.
But
especially not if she's on the ground. There's no reason, and I'm not one of these dudes that's going to sit here and say all kinds of crazy stuff or whatever the case might be, but there's no reason to stomp a woman, period. Like, really, you could say there's no reason to stomp anybody, but as a grown man, there is no reason to stomp a woman or a little girl.
But so, because, you know, playing, I got it on pause so you can continue to talk. But as we plan it again, she clearly already has the knife. She clearly already has the knife at this point. So none of these adults, and then you can see this grown man right here trying to kick this young girl. You can see somebody else in the background, like another grown man with the tan pants. So it's like, so nobody sees that she has a knife.
Well, I think the lady or whoever that is saw it, and that's why she ran over there to her to maybe try to stop it.
But none of these grown ass men.
No. And that on that, the officer takes a hit as well, because where is his de-escalation protocols? Where is his hand-to-hand training? Where is his, like, he's standing there with a gun in his hand and ain't nobody even paying him no mind.
Right. That's how caught up in what they're doing they are. And I'm going to get to the officer, but I do believe, like, he could have took a lot of other measures, could put in the full Nelson, dumped on the head or something. But
he could have fired a couple rounds off in the air.
Right. I mean, but they're, like, before we get to him, though, because we're getting to him.
Oh, no, they all the way wrong. They all the way wrong. This whole scene is wrong. The whole scene is wrong. And like, I'm going to be honest, I'm slightly embarrassed that it's even out there like that.
Right. Because you, like, this dude is trying to stomp this young girl's head instead of all you adults de-escalating the situation. I'm not sure if Micaiah Bryant was already outside when the girls came over. She was inside the house or whatever, but from what they're saying, these two girls come to her house to try to fight her. All right. Well, you're not going out. You're not going outside. Man, you finna go some 2-on-1 stuff. Come on, we're not letting that happen. And then if we already know somebody called the cops. No knives and other stuff need to be pulled. Stay inside and let the cops come up. But don't even call the cops. The adults de-escalate the situation.
Yeah, because let's be honest. Like, fights happen.
Right.
Amongst children. Like, and that's a part of life. Kids fight. What I am kind of struggling to figure out is why there's a grown-ass man stomping out a 16-year-old. Or however old a girl is.
They got to be around the same age. But that's a great question.
Yeah, like I'm wondering how he even got into the situation where he's exchanging blows with a teenager.
Right.
But then it's this becomes a way for the community, for the police to justify their behavior.
Right. Right.
Oh, because so the girl is with the girl that's on the ground.
Yeah, the girl in the pink is with the girl that's on the ground.
So, and the girl with the jeans on is with the dude.
Yes, that's Micaiah Bryant, the one with the knife in her hand.
Well, the one with the knife in her hands is in pink.
No, the one with the knife in her hand is in the jeans and the black shirt.
Oh, okay.
Because
I've seen the video before, people, if you ain't noticed.
So look at the screen now. You can see her got the knife in the hand.
Yeah, I see it. I thought that was the other lady with her arm extended, and the lady in the jeans was trying to like take the knife from her or something. That's what it looked like from this angle.
Because you can see this other lady in the black, this other girl, woman in the black.
Yeah, she looked like
she ran away when she saw the knife. Cause she about to jug her now. She is about to jug her. But I'm going to do as an adult, man, I got to do what I can to stop this from happening. I got to do what I can to de-escalate this. We're not even going to get to this level.
Right. Because I mean, like you said, I'm really looking at the dude hard. But even as a police officer, and I know we're going to get to him, but I keep coming back to him because you're the professional in the environment.
Right, to de-escalate.
Like, I've been, me, with no training on de-escalation procedures at the time, have been involved with children with weapons fighting and managed to stop it without anybody dying or getting injured.
So talking to an officer the other day, they're like, force is met with force. We get that. So force is met with force, but one of my main arguments that I've been having with people throughout the week is that we've seen police officers in a similar situation or in other situations that were violent or somebody's life is in danger with a white person, and that white person comes out alive. So when it comes to white people, somehow they find a way to not kill them. When it comes to black people, somehow we always end up dead.
Yeah, and I think that's the argument that I was making to PC. Because, you know, I don't jump out the window on a lot of these police shootings until I figure out what's happened. And this one is no different. I didn't jump out the window on it. But one thing that I can say consistently is a problem is that there seems to be less of a priority towards making sure that we survive our encounters versus other people. And I think that's still a legitimate complaint. Even if you're going to point out and somebody were to say, well, yeah, but he had to kill her to save the lives of other people.
He could have shot in the kneecap. She would have stopped.
Well, we you know, cops are trained to shoot center mass. So even if we give them that, it's still to the point of
shot in the ass. He wasn't going to miss.
If this had been a group of white people having a scuffle with somebody have are the chances that somebody would have turned up dead the same as they are because they're okay. black people? And I think the answer to that is no.
Well, let me ask you this, because you have a lot more knowledge and experience with weapons than I do, and a lot of people that I was in conversation with. So let me ask this. What's your experience with tasers? You ever been tased?
I've been tased once.
Okay. What was your experience when you were tased?
Total muscle lockup.
Okay. Glad you said that, because one of the arguments a lot of people were saying was that if they get tased, then the girl's arm, the electric shock was going to cause her arm to continue to move forward and stab the girl rather than lock up. And my argument was, well, I've seen people lock up when they tase. I don't see a lot of the majority of people who are tased not going to continue forward. There are some big, strong people who continue forward, but for the most part, most people going to seize up.
Well, that's a weak argument anyways, because if your argument is if you tase her, then her momentum was going to carry her forward and stab the person anyways, why is a bullet any different?
Right.
Like, if you tase somebody, you literally disrupt the flow of their nervous system. You got a better chance of stopping any progress with a taser than you do with a bullet, in which case the momentum is literally unimpeded.
Right.
So that makes that argument to me makes no sense.
I mean,
but go ahead.
I was like, I hear it, but no, like my experience is people seize up when they're attacked. I don't think
that argument makes no sense.
Yeah.
And the people that do fight through tasers, from my experience, usually the voltage is set too low.
Well, also a lot of those people, a lot of times that I've seen, they also see it coming and they're prepared for it.
True.
So see, if she would have got tased.
I saw it coming too, and I still locked up.
Right, but we ain't big dudes. So like I was telling them, like I was juxtaposing myself to a guy that worked with me. The dude that worked with me, he got a better chance of walking through the taser than I do. If I get tased, I'm hitting the ground.
I mean, everybody responds differently, of course, but from my experience, either you own some shit or the voltage is set too low. Is one of the two. Now, yeah, there are some people that can just muscle through it, but those are few and far in between.
Right. Right.
I tell you to take my chances with that than shooting somebody and potentially having the other person get stabbed anyway.
This young girl didn't have to die. She didn't have to be shot like this. She could still be alive.
Yeah.
Everything went wrong.
And it's bullshit, in my opinion, to say that the officer was acting to save the lives of the other people. But I'm going to be clear here. This is my negative bias towards police officers. I just don't believe that a good chunk of them are out there really trying to protect and serve black people. So when I hear that, I'd be like, yeah, there's got to be some other reason. He probably saw a reason to get 10 points and took it.
Hey.
But no, you're right. I agree with you. Everything that could have gone wrong in this situation went wrong. And this is like one of those ugly displays in the black community that I'm like, damn. I take this more on us than on the police, if I'm being honest.
Yeah. And that's why I was saying how I want to say, yeah, we're going to get to the police officer, but I see a lot of black adults out here.
Yeah.
And it's like, instead of you trying to kick this young girl in the head, especially this dude, instead of you trying to kick this young girl in the head, you should have been making sure that Micaiah is protected. Everybody's protected. It's de-escalated. Nobody can get nobody. These things ain't happen. That's what should have happened. And you looking at her, hey, you go forward, you don't have to deal with me. But the fact that, because it looks like, and the way the video is set up, it looks like she came out of the house with the knife.
Yeah.
And so everybody's so preoccupied with fighting, you don't know that she had a knife, or you see she got a knife and you don't care.
I think that's more the case of it. I think the knife was a known entity, but nobody cared. And that goes into a lot of the mentality and the other problems that we have in communities that, like, we grew up in.
Right.
Because when those communities where motherfuckers didn't care. Like,
when emotions get high.
Yeah, fuck you.
Right. And it's like, you know, you got a young girl who is like, these chicks ain't finna jump me, yada, yada, yada. She's, I guess she's thinking she got to protect herself at all costs. But emotions, I mean, she's 15. I'm not expecting her to be logical. But I'm expecting these adults to be logical. And not excusing her at any rate, but I'm not expecting her to be logical because she's 15. I've been 15.
I mean, honestly, though, I do give her.
She's not absolved.
And not absolving, but I understand it. When you grow up in an environment like the one that I'm only assuming, so I could be wrong, the one that I'm assuming she grew up in, you see what you see, you're raised how you raised, you view things how you view things, and that's the outcome. And if the adults around her are acting the way that Buddy was acting, what other decision do we think she has available to make? Like, and that's one of the things we got to be real about. And Sam, you know, talks about it. You've talked about it. Like, a kid can only make the choices that they see available to them to make. As adults, we would be wrong to look at a child with all of our experiences and our life and all of this, and we can see a plethora of options. A child may only see two, and they might both be bad.
I'm just saying, man. I'm just saying, a lot could have went right, but the adults chose to be childish. So now we have a young girl who's dead. Which, and her death happened within an hour of the verdict of the Chauvin trial.
And not only is she dead, but everybody involved is now traumatized.
Look at her.
Need therapy, probably for the rest of their life.
Look at her.
And some of y'all watching this video need therapy too.
But it goes back to, you know, what are we celebrating? Overall, and not saying you can't celebrate, but understand what you are celebrating and don't get lost in the celebration because we still got to fight. But, and me personally, I'm of the mindset of we don't celebrate until we win. That's how I get down.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the equivalent of a high five or a head nod or a fist pump or, you know, it's cool, whatever. But a full-blown celebration, I agree with you. But in this scenario, I just, again, like you said, with the adults, like, and everybody's going to have an opinion about all of this and all of that. But we all know that if everybody with an opinion actually was trying to implement things to make it better, we wouldn't keep having shit like this happen.
It wouldn't.
Because, like, I work with kids on a daily basis, have been for a number of years, in communities like the one that this girl was probably produced in. And that's why I said, if you would have talked to me about this 15 years ago, my answer would be totally different. I'd have been like, look, I grew up in that environment. I could see all of the options. So watch it. But now I'm like, look, everybody ain't you. Everybody don't see things the way you see them. Everybody hasn't been given the clues that you've been given clues for. If you teach somebody how to read, but you leave out the TH sound and they've never seen that sound before in their life, and they've never seen T and H next to each other, ever, and then they finally see the word think, you know, you would be an asshole to criticize them for not being able to read the word.
Right.
They didn't even know that the sound was a possibility. They didn't know it was an option. And it's the same with life scenarios and life choices that a lot of these people go through. If nobody's ever talked to you about college, nobody's ever told you what college was, how to get in, and what it could do for your life, and everybody you know talks bad about college, of course you're going to grow up and be like, fuck college.
You only know what you know, man. Exposure matters.
Right. And so if everybody she talks to has always been on some fuck that, I wish a bitch would, you know, I wish is the black people's slogan across America. If everybody's wishing, she was wishing too. And somebody gave her opportunity to show and prove, and she was finna show and prove.
That seemed
like a community failure to me.
It's totally a community failure. Like it all this could have been avoided from the parents or whoever was in charge of the other two little girls who ran up on them to all of this stuff. Like stuff has to be mitigated. Like parents, y'all got to be in your child's lives. Y'all got to be nosy. Who cares if your child don't like that you in their business? You ain't paying no bills to have no business.
Right.
And at the end of the day, for me, you can't whoop me anyway, so who cares?
There you go, Joe. Taking it back to the hood, huh?
No, I'm just saying.
My ass.
All I'm saying is, I'm going to do what I got to do to make sure you straight.
No.
And just remind, but you need to be reminded that, hey, man, you're not just going to get what you want.
I'm with it.
Hey, man. But hey, man, that's our show today, man. Ain't no sense of beating these topics into the ground. We said what we said. And we meant what we said, and that's all we got to say that's on our minds. But it's not a good look, this last story for our community. So let's do better, people.
What were you gonna say about Shelby?
Let me pull it up. Let me pull it up so I can make sure I say it right, because I was just going straight to that.
Shelby's World. Y'all check out Shelby's World every Friday to drop podcast drops, and every Wednesday they go live on YouTube.
Oh, yeah, on the picture right here in my face. All right, so Saturday, May 29th from 11:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. Brunch and converse with the Shelby's World podcast. So you're invited to join Mimosas, Great Food, and Entertainment. And it will be at the Twin Oaks Clubhouse at the Merchants Row Boulevard in Tallahassee, Florida. You can go to Eventbrite if you type in brunch, converse, or just type in Shelby's World podcast. And it should be able to come up. You'll be able to register on Eventbrite. No sponsors, S. Johnson Bowtie, of course, the Freedom Train, on the shows of Giants, Monroe and Park, Link Up. I can't really read that. Shelby's Bistro, J. Two Couture. I think that says A. Lil Madison. I can't really read sponsors, but shout out to all the sponsors. But May 29th from 11:30 to 3 p.m. Mimosas, Great Food, and Entertainment, Brunch and Converse with Shelby's World podcast. Go to eventbrite.com to make sure that you register for your ticket. Anyway, man, I'm Joseph Ward. He's Patrick Irvin. Make sure you check out Shelby's event, the Shelby World podcast event. And we're going to get down. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be in the house, and I'm going to be drinking. Probably have my shirt off, and I hope it's some single ladies in there too. So that being said, I'm Joseph Ward, Patrick Irvin, and we got this.